Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our examination of the letter of Philippians. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. And we have seen just in the first few verses how much he loved them. We checked a little bit in Acts to see how the gospel had come to Philippi, what had happened. And it had been a difficult time, been a challenging time, and it continued to be that. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul started off by saying, I thank God for y'all in every remembrance of you. He said, I remember you. I pray for you. I offer prayer for you with joy. And he says, I'm just ecstatic over how you participated in the gospel, how you responded to the gospel, but also how you continue to propagate the gospel, how you continue to share the gospel. Then our last verse in our last episode was verse 6, where we saw that Paul said this, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. And notice this, the confidence is not in the people. The confidence is not in Paul. The confidence is not in what Paul had taught them, what they would be able to do, et cetera, et cetera. The confidence is what? In the Lord Jesus Christ, that the one who began the good work will complete the good work and will do so until the very day of Christ. I suspect that all too often that we place our confidence and our ability to do things for God rather than in the Most High God Himself. And you say, oh, well, you're just sort of twisting words around a little bit. No, not really. If you look to see what the body of Christ does and how the body of Christ acts and how we react and the things that we do, you would be hard-pressed not to notice that we basically put confidence in man and in the ability of man far more than we do in the ability of God. Now, we'll come along. What we do is we plan, we do all these great things and these ideas, et cetera, et cetera. And then we ask God to bless it. We say, Lord, bless this, rather than really placing our confidence in Him and realizing that the work that we're doing, what we saw over in Ephesians, is the work that's designed before the foundations of the earth. And it's a work that the Lord has planned for us today. So let me read verse 6 again. We'll press on. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all. This is me speaking. That proves that Paul's Southern. You all, y'all. You see cute little phrases like it all through the English scripture. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. So we're given some insight here as to how Paul understood what happens and what we saw over in Acts 16. He was in prison, remember that? Here he talks about the fact that you are in my heart because of how you acted and reacted. They didn't turn away from him because he was in prison. They did not turn away from him in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Remember how the chief magistrates wanted Paul and Silas and all of them just to sort of slither out of town and just get out of here and nobody know about it, and Paul wouldn't have anything to do with it? Well, this is why. Because he wanted to defend the gospel. He didn't want anybody besmirching the gospel in any type of way, okay? He didn't want them associating the gospel with anything that was not of the Most High God. And so here Paul actually calls that a defense and confirmation of the gospel. And he says, I just thank the Lord for y'all because you were partakers of the grace of God, the grace that God poured out upon us in the midst of that situation. You were there with us. Then verse 8, for God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He really, really missed these folks. And it was that word affection right there really speaks deep within the bowels, within the inner parts. He says, I long for you. with that affection that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ for one another. You know, we experience that. It's, we'll call it spirit under spirit or something like that, of how we are and how we feel emotionally about somebody. And it doesn't make sense in the natural, for instance. But what it is spirit under spirit. It is the affection, A-F-F-E-C-T-I-O-N, the affection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord dwells within us, if His Spirit and His power is within us, we will have that for fellow believers. Now, verse 9, Paul continues, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." So he's going to start speaking some things over them to direct them and to encourage them and to exhort them. And he said, this is what I'm praying. I'm praying that your love, which you have for one another, that you have for me, I'm praying that your love will abound. How much? More and more. Okay? More and more. In real knowledge and discernment. Okay? So much that passes as knowledge is not true knowledge. Okay? It's not true knowledge. And he says we must have the discernment. But the knowledge and the discernment comes from the Most High God, verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. There's that phrase, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. Again, it's twice in this little passage here. And he says the reason is that you want to abound in love and you want to abound more and more in real knowledge and in discernment is that you may be able to approve the things that are excellent. What is right? And why is all that? Well, to where you'll be blameless, to where you will be sincere and blameless until the day of the Lord. Then our last verse, verse 11 today, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So this is his opening, these folks, okay? He's saying, y'all must realize, I love you. I'm praying for you. You're on my mind all the time. And I'm praying and just giving thanks to God how you are partakers of grace with me, how you, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, that you were there. Now I'm praying that your love will abound, that you will grow more and more with real knowledge and discernment, and that you will approve the things that are excellent, and that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Well, what's fruit of righteousness? Well, fruit of righteousness is the fruit that comes off the fact, that is born by the fact that you are living righteously and that you are righteous. He says that you have been filled with this, which comes through Jesus Christ, and the whole point to the glory and praise of God. Some amazing stuff here. Let me encourage you, before you recline up on your night bed this evening, go and read Philippians. We've just done the first 11 verses right here. Go read it again. Meditate upon it. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you next time.